like to welcome everyone. We say a special welcome to those who are visiting with us. And we want you, the visitors, to understand that you are our honored guests. We are hoping that with God's help, something will be said today to help you see your need for Jesus Christ. If you are not a child of His, let us bow our heads as we pray. Gracious, merciful, holy, everlasting God in heaven, we come again this Lord's Day. A day, my God, that is so honored in the gospel, reminding each person of the day you were resurrected from the grave, thereby giving humanity hope of a resurrection from the dead. We give you thanks that we have this day, this time, this moment to come, my God, and give you the worship, the honor, the praise, the adoration that you deserve. We beg that, my God, through Jesus Christ, you will so guide our minds, our words, our thoughts, our action, that the time spent here will not be in vain. But we will, in fact, my God, worship you the way you are to be worshipped. We beg that you will help us to engage in worship gladly and willingly. Help us, my God, to always recognize the strength and the time and the freedom you have given us to do our different businesses and activities, so that the little time that is given in public worship, we will not, my God, shortchange you or rob you of it. As we engage in worship and as we reach a point where we are going to be studying your word, that is the point where you will speak to us through your revelation. We beg that you will guide our receptiveness, our memory, our focus, and our understanding, my God, so that the things that we will be learning through this lesson, we will retain them for our future use and present use, and we'll be able to help others by these truths. I beg your special help and mercy through Jesus the Christ, my God. First, I beg for understanding of your will even now, so that I will represent you correctly in the things that I'm about to preach and teach. I beg that you will forgive me, my God, through Christ. I beg that you will supply me with a sharp memory so that I'll be able to recall the things that I have studied, and that you will grant me the understanding to relate your truth in a way that everyone wanting to will understand. Guide us that at the end, my God, of this study, not only would you have spoken to us, but your name would have been honored and be glorified, and you would be pleased, and we will be helped, be edified, be encouraged, and be challenged. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray and beg these mercies. Amen. I just up front want first to congratulate Brother Gilbert that in his secular calling, he's a teacher by profession, that in the entire Caribbean, in teaching economics, he came first. Now, that is considering the health issue that Brother Gilbert has had, that is great. Not only did he come first, he got some other honor there in being second, and you know, but coming first in the Caribbean, not in Jamaica, in the Caribbean, that is just great. And we rejoice with him. We beg that you will remember him and others among us who are not keeping the best of health, that you will remember them. I am told that Sister Anne Blake is with us and that she brought a visitor. We will see about that. But we're glad to have Anne, and we're glad to have her visitor also. We would like to pick up where we have left off last week. Bring your sacrifice. The passage from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, which was read, is directly on the subject to be looked on. We started it last week, and we are going to continue this week. Bring your sacrifice. We pointed out then, after mentioning that all the sacrifices and the offering that we look on then, you have the burnt offering, the meat offering, the sin offering, the peace offering, the trespass offering. I pointed out last week that with all of these different sacrifices or offering, sin was still not addressed in the way God wanted it to be addressed. That sin was forgiven . I'm here wondering If using the word forgiven, I might have given you the wrong concept. Sin was removed. Did I give you the wrong concept in that? Sin was suspended. Probably that is a better word. Only for 1 year. Only for 1 year. Whatever your sin that you had brought to God, and God promised you that it would be remitted, that was only for a year. Because, and the tenth day of the seventh month each year, the Almighty God commanded the Israelites to have a grand day of sacrifice that was called the Day of Atonement. That day stand first in the Jewish religious calendar. There was, we talk a lot about the day of Pentecost and whatever. There was no day like the Day of Atonement. None. In importance, in respect to the Israelite attempting to relate God, no day like the Day of Atonement. For one thing, you're not planning to, in fact, I discover in trying to help us understand the Day of Atonement, it would take probably 3, 4, 5, 6 lessons to explain some of what was done that day. So I'm trying here to be brief. Among the things that had to be done, remember that was the day that the high priest, the one day for the year, the Almighty God had told Moses to tell his brother Aaron, Aaron's head of the high priest, that he should not go in the Holy of Holies regularly, but only once a year. Not only that, while throughout the year, the different feasts and the festivals and the offering, many times the ordinary priest could have officiated for the high priest. But on the Day of Atonement, no subordinate priest could officiate for the high priest. None. The high priest had to be there in person and officiate for himself. You know why? He typified Jesus Christ. So on that day, there could be no substitute, no replacement. The Day of Atonement, as sin of the Israelites were pushed forward each year, on the tenth day of the seventh month, all of your past sin would be brought up again, and it was brought up for remembrance. That's right. But watch here now. The question could reasonably be asked, why such a system? Why the Almighty God give that type of system? you offer your sacrifice a year ago, and the priest offers sacrifice for you and all of that. And then, after 12 months, all these sacrifice and that one day, the Day of Atonement, and that was to remind me of all sin for the past year. Why? I thought they were dealt with. Brothers and sisters, one reason for this, that all the past sin for the past year had to be remembered on the Day of Atonement, one of the reasons for that was to keep in the minds and in the eyes of the Israelites. Are we all there? Keep in mind their sin, and keep in their memory the sinfulness of man's sin. That is, are we all there? One of the reasons was for the Israelite to not treat sin casually, but that they remember that even though it had been passed a year ago, they are brought in confrontation with those same sins. And another reason in that was to remind them of the righteous love of God. In what way, Brother Mitchell? Because the provision that the Almighty God made for their sins to be partially addressed on the Day of Atonement demonstrate God's love, God's care, and God's concern for them. Sins of the people had to be yearly called into remembrance on the Day of Atonement, with all the different offering and sacrifices that had been done through the past months and weeks and days. They were still outstanding with all the various sacrifices. We turn again to the passage of Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 1 through verse 4 again. Quickly, please, let us hear it.
For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things.
It had a what, brother? Shadow.
A shadow of good things to come.
May I? You and I must learn not to get mixed up with shadow and substance. It is the substance that is the real thing. The shadow is just a reflection. So the law, when a person come and wants to take you back to things like the Sabbath and whatever, they're taking you back to shadow. That's right. Read on.
Having a shadow of good things to come, and not the...
It did not even give you a true representation of the real thing to come in the New Testament and thereafter. Read on.
And not the very image of the thing. And the year perfect.
Did you all hear that? That when the Israelites offered those sacrifices year by year, it did not address their sin problem. When it says it could not make the comma perfect, mean they were still left at square one. Read on. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? That is, if he continue for them every year, it simply means that it's not dealing with his sin. That's why it had to be offered every year. Read on. In those sacrifices,
there is a remembrance again made of sins every year.
Y'all hear that? That's what we have here. It is when they reach the, it's referring to the Day of Atonement, you know. That's one of the purposes of the Day of Atonement, to remind them of the sin that they had committed in the past year. So here you have it. There's a remembrance. Read out.
For it is not possible.
And it is telling you now the reason why.
For
they had to be reminded that their sins were still outstanding. Because it is not possible that the blood
of bulls and of goats,
they refer to sheep,
should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices, for sin thou hast no pleasure.
You are hearing that? The Almighty God gave the Israelite this temporary system. I usually say it represents a promissory note. And that promissory note had to be kept renewed. That's what happened every year at the Day of Day of Atonement. Kept renewed until the real thing came. Let us hear 9:22. Same Hebrew.
And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission.
Without shedding of blood, there is no removal of sin. That's verse 22. Verse 12.
Neither by the blood of goats and calves.
Neither by the blood of goats
and calves.
And calves.
But by his own blood.
He
entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Notice the Bible did not say Jesus Christ entered. There is a contrast here. It tells you that he entered once. You see, that is contrasting Christ's entry with the entry of the high priest every year. Jesus Christ only to make one sacrifice. The Levitical priest had to make sacrifice daily, yearly, and whatever else. May I? I want to move on to where I list some of the sacrifices that we are to bring to God. But it's important that we understand some more about sacrifices. As I said, in the Jewish calendar, there was no day like the Day of Atonement. One of the things that we need to understand, most of us who have been in the Lord's church know this, that among the sacrifices that were offered on that day, among the animals that were brought on that day, there were two animals. Special. Let us run to the book of Leviticus chapter 16. Verse 7 through 10 and 21 through 22. It's important that we understand certain things here about sin.
And he shall take the two goats.
And he that is the high priest shall take the two goats.
And present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle.
And he shall present the two goats. Remember, it's talk about sheep. Before the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle.
Of the congregation.
Of the congregation. Read.
And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats.
And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats.
One lot for the Lord.
Notice this. One lot for the Lord.
And the other lot for the scapegoat.
And the other lot for the scapegoat. We have been hearing about scapegoat. Always remember that it means escape. That's true. The word, the Greek, the Hebrew word translated scapegoat really have the concept. One of the concepts is escape. And that is some of the ideas in the scapegoat. It's important that we keep in mind two goats. What verse you start, brother?
Verse 8.
Okay, read on.
And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering.
Now, the goat on which the Lord, that is God's lot fell, that one belonged to God. That one should be offered for sin. We got that? That one should be the sacrificial lamb for sin. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Remember, these two animals were symbolic. Both of them represent one sacrifice, Jesus Christ. But there is a very important lesson in having the two animals. Now, read on, brother.
But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord. To make
that one, Jonathan must not be killed. He is the scapegoat. Read.
To make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness.
What verse is that?
End of 10.
Step down to 21 and 22.
And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat. And confess over...
Watch here. That's the scapegoat. The sins of the Israelites going to be escaped on that goat. The sins of the Israelites going to be brought away by that goat. And what?
And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon...
Both his hands should be laid on the escape goat.
Upon the head of the live goat. And confess over him all the...
And Aaron should confess while his hands was on the scapegoat all the sins of all the Israelites.
And all their transgressions in their sins, in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited.
It's like that phrase, the goat shall bear upon him. It's like that is talking about Jesus Christ and all our sins.
The goat shall bear upon him the sins of the people. That is really about Christ. But here, brother, what verse is that, brother?
Verse 22.
Okay, you may start here at verse 22, finish.
And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
End of 22.
Yeah. The goat should not be let go among population. The goat should be brought at the wilderness. Nobody inhabit there and let go. Because since that goat is representative, the Almighty God was sending a message that we are now living. That when God deals with our sin in Jesus Christ, our sin is taken where nobody knows where they are. It's like they do not exist. The goat, watch here, for the sin offering was the sacrificial goat. And the scapegoat is telling us or delivering a message to us in respect to sin and the only way it can be dealt with. One, brothers and sisters, man needs his sin to be remitted. To be forgiven. But as far as the Holy God is concerned, that is not enough. And that is one of the great messages in the two goats. You see, one goat could not represent how sin is dealt with. Because sin does not only need a sacrifice or blood to remit it. Sin needs to be taken away from the sinner. That's the only way sin can be dealt with in the mind of the righteous God. It is paid for by life. Always remember when the Bible talks about blood and the blood, it's in reference to the life because the life is in the blood. Remember, when I was growing up, you know, people give you the idea that a little drop of Jesus' blood could pay for my sin. Not really. Not really, as precious as his blood is. Enough blood had to be spilled from his body to take his life away. Amen. Remember that. Amen. Remember that. And one goat could not at the same time be the sacrificial lamb, that is the blood price that is paid to remit my sin. And that same sacrificial goat be at the same time the one that showed that sin must be taken away from the sinner. It takes two goats. Remember, Jesus Christ has one goat. Christ is both the sacrificial lamb and the one that takes our sins away. Man need his sin to be put away or be taken away, hence the scapegoat. Are we there? Look at Psalms 103, verse 12. Psalms 103 and verse 12.
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
You get the idea. David, who lived in the ancient world, understood probably better than many of us that it is not sufficient that the Almighty God kept me from my sin. Because sin is real for God. David understood that the sin must not only be removed from me, it must be taken away. Read that again, brother.
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
In Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, there are three words that are translated forgive or forgiven. Three words. The first word is the word kaphar, K-A-P-H-A-R. And that word means to cover. Then there is the second word in Hebrew that is translated forgive or forgiven, and that is the word N-A-S-A, Nasa. And that word means to lift away. But then there is the third word in the Hebrew language that is also translated forgive or forgiven, and that is the word S-A-L-A-C-A, Salak. And that word means to send away. Now that is the word that is used in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 21 and 22. That's right. The word salak, which means to send away. So it's not sufficient that our sins be remitted from us. Our sins, as far as the holiness and the justice of God is concerned, our sin must be taken away. David understood when he says that as far as the east is from the west, so far as the Almighty God removes sin from us. Jesus Christ does that for sinners. Are we all there? Hence, Jeremiah 31. 35 following. Quick, brother.
Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars.
First reading.
Verse 35.
33.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them.
Find me the verse, brother, and their sin will I remember no more somewhere there.
34.
Read.
For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
Man, that was not possible under the Old Testament system. Even with the scapegoat. Because scapegoat was only symbolic. That was mainly a message too for us. Of course, it was telling the Israelites that, yes, your sin is gone, and this is why you don't even know where the goat went. In fact, the Almighty God told Moses that the guy who take the goat must be a swift person. That's right. Nobody would take time walk that you could walk and watch where him and go with the goat. That's right. Must be swift. Take the goat and let him go. That represents the fact that you realize the sin. But may I remember that no sin for anyone, anytime, anywhere was ever truly cleansed until Jesus Christ came. You must always remember that. Whatever you read in the Old Testament, no sin for anyone, anywhere, at any time, was ever forgiven until Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Are we there? None! So when we read, brother, we must understand, brothers and sisters, that thing. For the Almighty God cannot only be removed from us, it must be taken away. So here in Jeremiah 31, the Almighty God says, their sin will I remember no more. That is possible only in Jesus Christ. Are we all here? I want to point out something here. One, in Jesus Christ there is absolute and everlasting forgiveness. When we are forgiven in Christ by meeting God's condition, that forgiveness is complete, thorough, absolute, and it is forever. Meaning, God Himself cannot hold that sin against you again. Are we all there? When our sins are dealt with God's way according to the gospel in Jesus Christ. But there is another point. The Israelites had mainly two God-given institutions that gave them the idea that their sins were dealt with. And those who responded to God's word in faith and obedience then, it's like the Almighty God gave them the promise that their sins were dealt with. We know that in effect, their sins were sort of put on hold. It had to until Jesus Christ came. But what you and I must ever keep in mind, the Bible makes plain that those two institutions given to the Israelites by God, that they never address sin completely. I said two. One was the different sacrifices. Are we all there? And two, the other was the law or the commandments. Are we all here? The entire religious life of the Israelites surround the sacrifice was a daily thing. And remember the law? The Almighty God told the Israelites to write it in their forehead and their bracelet. Huh? Listen, Hebrews 10, 1 and 4. Quick.
For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect.
Everybody gets that. This verse, hold it, brother. This verse is talking about the sacrifices. Huh? That the sacrifices that they offered didn't make them better spiritually. Are we all here? In the sight of God, they were still sinners. But because they believed in God and offered what He asked for, God accepted them as if their sins were dealt with, because God knew that because of your faith and obedience, those sins would be dealt with years to come in Jesus Christ. But the law and the sacrifices did not deal with those sins. That was verse 1.
Yes.
Verse 4.
For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins.
You all got it? No? Okay. Now turn to Galatians. May I? So here you are told that the blood sacrifices did not address their sin. Verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 10, the brothers just read, said it is impossible for animal blood to address sin. Impossible. So we know the sacrifices. Remember, what I have here, the sacrifices and the law or the commandment, these were the foundation of the Israelite life, religious life. So we have just been told that this one did not really address sin. Let us hear now about the other one, the law or the commandment. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19 and 21.
Wherefore then serveth the law?
May I? The Holy Spirit in Paul is writing to the Church of Christ in God. As the same area that you and I know, are part of the same area you and I know called France. Part of the area. And in writing to the Church of Christ in this area at that time, the inspired apostle anticipated some of what would be going through the minds of the Christians, as he told them in the letter that the law was never meant to make men and women righteous. It was never meant to address sin.
That's right.
So they would be asking, so why then do we have to live by the law? That's what it means. Why then serve the law? Paul is anticipating the question that would be going through their mind. So he asked it for them because he wants to supply the answer. Why then was the law given? Why we Israelites have to live by the law if it did not address our sin problem? Read, brother.
It was added because of transgressions.
May I? It was thrown in. You notice the word added? Very important word there, you know. It means it was not a part of God's original plan. It was added. Some false teachers and false church out there tell you that the law was here from creation. That's false. The Bible tells me that before the law, sin was here. That means sin was here before the law. In fact, sin was not even here at creation. Sin came in after creation. But at any rate, it was here before the law. That's right. Because before the law, sin was here. And Christians, you must forget that. There was a time when the law was not here. When it did come, it was an addition. Addition to what? To God's plan. God threw it in. You know why? It says because of transgression. For men and women to know that they were overstepping God's boundary. It's like if you have a piece of land, especially in rural Jamaica, and you permit people to walk through it over years, they almost see it as what we call crown land. When the time comes for you to tell them they can't walk through it anymore, it creates problems. And if you have a piece of land beside another neighbor where everybody from the neighbor come over and pick your mango, your orange, you know what you have to do? Put up a fence or a wall. Now every time the children or whoever try to go under that barbed wire or climb over the wall, it reminds them. In fact, that's why when them are go by, then look around, see if anybody are come. Because that wall alone or barbed wire tell them that they are trespassing. That is the point of the law.
Amen.
To let men and women know that they are overstepping God's boundary. That's what the Bible means when it says it was added because of transgression. Watch here, watch here. The Israelites thought it was here to stop sin. To remove sin, it could not remove sin. Remember, you know, you have already been told that the sacrifices could not address sin. We are now dealing with the law and the commandment. These were the two central institutions in the Israelites' economy. Law.
It was added because of transgression till the seed should come.
Wait. Don't you read over that till so quick. It had a time limit. That's what the word till means. Till the seed. Up until that point. That seed is Christ. That was verse 19. Step down now to 21.
Is the law then against the promises of God?
Is the law
God forbid.
When God gave the law, it was never meant by God to undermine His promise in Jesus Christ. Y'all get the point? The law did not work against the promise of God to address sin once and for all in Christ. That's the other point the Israelite will begin to think. No, when God gave the law, it was given for a specific purpose. And it's going to fulfill that purpose. It was meant only to serve up until Christ came. Is it against God's promise? What promise is that? The promise of the Savior to come to deal with sin once and for all. God forbid.
For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law.
You get the drift there? Notice a law. If there was a law given. The Allah here is indefinite, as you know, referring to any law given by God at any time, anywhere to anybody, or given by man that could really address sin. Life would have come by that law. What?
Verily, righteousness should have been by the law.
Righteousness would have been by the law. Wait, it is anticipating that, you see, one thing is here, forgiveness takes place before righteousness. Always. So if righteousness would have come by that law, but there has never been a law given by God or by man that could bring righteousness. Only Jesus Christ can bring righteousness. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? The two foundation systems in the Jewish life or economy, the sacrificial system and the law or commandment system, none of them address man's sin. None. Because not to wait until Jesus Christ comes. Only Christ. Only in Jesus Christ there is absolute and eternal forgiveness. When Jesus Christ deals with our sin, it is dealt with thoroughly, completely, and it is dealt with forever. Wait. In fact, you know, I have some 3 to 4 areas of sacrifices that we are to bring. But that has to be another lesson, and you must not miss that. Bring your sacrifice. But I have to end here. The Almighty God has a simple plan of salvation. May I, brothers and sisters? Sin cannot be wished away. You hear about wishful thinking? That is something going on in your mind, and that's the way you'd like to be. Sin cannot be dealt with like that. Sin cannot be locked away. Are we all there? Sin cannot be criticized away. Are we all there? Sin cannot be ignored away. That was one of the reasons the Almighty God had the Day of Atonement, to keep reminding the children of Israel of their sin. And the more we are mindful of our sin, is the more we will depend on and look to Jesus Christ for forgiveness. The more we go through life thinking we are holy and we are this before God, is the worse we become. In fact, one of the reasons, are we all there? I almost preach that lesson tonight because it is appropriate to follow that up as a follow-up to this lesson. Why did the Almighty God commanded the high priest and the other priests to first cleanse themselves? But that lesson you will hear another. Very important. There are both 4 reasons. And one of them has to do with the fact that God wants nobody to ever feel that they are so holy they do not need forgiveness. Nobody. Not even the high priest. So he had their mind. In fact, let me not get into it. I believe me, last night, here studying, and I was saying, why don't I preach that for the lesson tonight? But because tonight I have the second lesson in why, giving you a reason why the Bible is the Word of God. We have a lesson 2 Sunday nights ago. The unity of the Bible. We are talking about the internal proof. Why you as a child of God can show that this is not from man. The second lesson comes tonight, and that's the only reason you do not have that lesson on why God commanded the priests that they should offer sacrifice for themselves first. So we get to now to the point that sin cannot be washed away, it cannot be mocked away, it cannot be ignored. Sin must be dealt with on God's terms. And if you're here today, you're an alien sinner. I mean, if you're a man or a woman who have never become a child of God, the Bible's way, you are told, commanded by God to hear His word. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus' name. And get baptized for the removal of your sin. That's how you become a Christian, God's way. May I That plan was here even before the church. And they were here about the same time. Not just here, they were in God's mind. Umpteen of probably years, thousands before creation, the very time the Almighty God made the plan to have His church as the body of Christ is the very time the Almighty God had the plan to remove man's sin and add them to His church. And what a glorious opportunity you have this morning. You can have your sins forgiven today. God's way, and you can be a part of Jesus' body, the church, today. There is no way outside of Jesus' plan as outlined in the gospel for your sins to be addressed. No way. That's right. Sin cannot be dealt with on man's whims and fancy and like and dislike. Dealing with sin is not in man's ability. We don't have what it takes to deal with our sin. That's why you have to go to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why I bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Sin must not only be remitted, it must be taken away. Hence the two animals. One is slain to tell us that it takes blood to remit sin. And one is taken away in the uninhabited wilderness to also let us know that sin must be taken away from the sinner. You can come today because Jesus Christ is here. Not only to commit your sin, but to take them away. God has given you the chance right now. And if you're wise, you will step forward and give Jesus Christ your life. As we stand now.